All right, brethren, I'm going to preach out of Matthew 7, but I want you to turn to Romans 14 first. We began this chapter last Sunday, and Lord willing, we'll continue it this Sunday, but I want to look at a subject we saw here concerning judging. Romans 14, 1 says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs," or vegetables. "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." Look at verse 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now let's go to Matthew 7. I want to speak some on this subject of judging. Now this is our Master speaking. And he says in verse 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, our Master here is speaking to brethren, to believers. And he begins there in verse 1 and says, "Judge not." Now, those words may be more well-known than John 3:16. Because when you begin to tell somebody what God says in His Word, if God's Word's opposite to what they're doing, one of the first things you'll hear is, "Judge not." Right now, the word is tolerance. And this world wants everybody to be tolerant. If you're not tolerant, you can be accused of a hate crime. But when you declare God's word that marriage is between a man and a woman alone, biblical marriage is between a man and a woman alone, it's often the common case that you'll hear, "Judge not. Judge not." When men hear us preach God's word that all men are totally depraved, dead in trespasses and sins, and especially when we speak about false religion and their sinful works that they do, somebody will be sitting there visiting and they'll hear it, and afterward they'll say, "Well, I thought the Lord said, judge not." Christ is not teaching us never to judge. He's not teaching us never to judge. 1 John 4:1, he said, "Try the spirits. Try the preachers." We have to use spiritual judgment to discern if the preachers are preaching the truth or they're preaching a lie. He said through Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." He says down here in verse 6, right here in the same sermon, he says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You have to use spiritual discernment to judge if you're speaking with someone who's a dog and a swine who's going to hate the gospel and turn and rend you. In verse 15 and 16, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" That's going to require us to judge false prophets. And we're going to know them by their fruits. That's requiring some judgment. So the Lord's not teaching us to never use judgment. He teaches us to judge righteous judgment. You better judge. If you don't, you'll end up being led astray by a false preacher. So we use judgment. But the Master's teaching His disciples here to be not critical, accusing, condemning our brethren, especially not in things that are not vital issues. He's condemning a self-righteous, fault-finding spirit, which magnifies one's errors and infirmities. He's condemning that spirit that keeps score. Now, our Lord gives four reasons here for not judging. Four reasons, and these will be our divisions, and we'll just start with verse 1. First of all, we should not judge because Christ commands us not to. He says, judge not. Judge not. If we have a God-given love for Christ, He's put the love of God in our heart, then by God's grace, we'll obey Him. By God's grace, by the Spirit of God, we'll obey Him. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." When Christ says to believers, judge not, that's the law of Christ that we're under. It's the law of love. I believe that is the law that James was talking about. Look over at James 4, verse 11. He says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." See, he's talking about the same thing Christ did. "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law." What law is he talking about? Well, what Christ is telling us is speak not evil one of another. That's Christ's law to his people. That's a precept he's giving you and me. The man that speaks evil of his brother speaks evil of Christ's law not to judge. He's saying, I don't think that's a good law. I'm going to do it anyway. And look, he's judging Christ's law by that. Now look at, "But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Now think about this. We talk about this being Christ's rule to his people. Judge not. This is Christ our Redeemer. Do you know what you are before Him? You know what we are before Him and we have been since eternity? We've been vile, wretched sinners. You don't see it like He sees it in you, and I don't see it like He sees it in me. Vile, wretched sinners. And yet, even when we were enemies to Christ, He came and took all our sin and laid down His life for us. We were worthy of His judgment and wrath, but He didn't give it to us. He gave us grace. He gave us mercy. He came and laid down His life and suffered that agony we just sang about. He suffered that agony in our room instead. And then He came to us dead in trespasses and sins. And when we were regenerated, Christ Jesus in spirit entered into us. And now He's our Master. He is our Master, ruling us. And He says, judge not. Now that ought to end all critical, accusing, condemning talk of anybody. Of anybody, especially our brethren. This is the word of Christ our Master. He's teaching us not to walk contrary to His love toward us. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Think about from eternity, when Christ entered covenant with the Father, from the time we fell, think how long Christ has suffered with us. With man, period. And think how long He suffered with you and me when we didn't know Him. And think how long He suffers with you now that you do know Him. He's kind to us. He's gracious to us. He's merciful to us. He's forgiving to us. He's not critical. He doesn't accuse us and magnify our offenses and condemn us. Let's be like our Master, long-suffering, forgiving, merciful, gracious, forbearing. Why? Because He said, judge not. Now, secondly, we should not judge because in this life, God will judge us with the same judgment with which we judge. In this life, God will judge you and me, His believing children, with the same judgment that we judge others with. Here in verse 1, He says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Look at Luke 6 again, and listen to what He said there now. Luke 6:37. He says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give. Give mercy. Give grace. Give forgiveness. Give long-suffering. Give, and it shall be given to you. Now, what measure do we give? Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's how men shall give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Our Lord is teaching us here that if we rejoice in judgment, if we rejoice to condemn our brother for the things that he's done, if we rejoice to accuse him and blame him, God will judge us with the same judgment. He'll do so by chastening us, and He will use men to do it. So is this judgment from God or from men? Yes, it's from both. Because God will chasten us, and He'll use men to chasten us. If we're forgiving and gracious in abundance, you know the picture there, shaken down. It's like if you had a bushel of peas or something and you put them in a basket and you're at the counter and the guy is weighing them. He puts them in there and he shakes them real good and makes sure they're all down so he can add more to it. You know when you buy a box of chips or crackers or something like that and you get to where you are and you open them up and they're all down in the bag and there's a big space at the top? It's because on the way there, they were shaken down. And they all sit down on the bottom now, and there's all this extra space. He said, don't give forgiveness that way. Don't give mercy that way. He says, you give in abundance, shaken down, running over, and that's how men will recompense into your bosom. You think about it, our God is sovereign God. He rules everyone in the world and everything in the world. Can He not use men around us if we need to be judged? If we've been judging harshly, can He not use men to judge us harshly and then sanctify it to our hearts to make us know this is His chastening hand? Sure He can. He's in control of everything. Now, He won't do this for everybody. Some people go through their life judging and accusing and condemning everybody they see. And they're never chastened for it. Why? They're bastards and not sons. That's why. But if you're His child, God will chasten you for that. Listen to what He told His brethren when He was teaching them to pray. He said, you pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then He said this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He can't be talking about final judgment, because there's going to be seasons you fall into this unforgiving spirit and are going to have to be chastened. So what's He talking about? He's talking about right now. If we do that, God's not going to forgive it. He's going to correct us, is what He's saying. Now, don't misunderstand. Christ has come and redeemed His people from all iniquity. He laid down His life for His elect. And the Scripture says, by His one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. God says, I will remember your sins no more. They won't be brought up. And that's before the judgment seat of God. Before the law of God, before the judgment seat of God, there is therefore now no condemnation. But for our good in this life, God's not going to let us do something that's going to harm us. He's going to correct His child. And if we're not obeying Christ like He teaches us to, He will correct us. He won't forget that. He will correct us. And that's what Christ is saying. It's in this life, God will either use men to judge us and chasten us for disobeying our Lord, or God will use men, and when we've given in abundance, God will use men and give to us in abundance. Now, hear Christ speak here. He says, give mercy. You see that sin or that infirmity or that weakness in your brother or error or whatever it is? He's not saying that you can't lovingly speak to him about what it is in Scripture. We can do that. But make sure it's seasoned with grace. But now this condemning, this haughty, puffed up condemning and accusing, and then a brother comes and asks forgiveness and you refuse it, this is what we're talking about. God is going to correct for that. You just mark it down. He is going to. And or if we give mercy and we give grace and we're kind and long-suffering, God will use men to give that to us in abundance. This is God. He says to us, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It shall. And so, in James 2:12, he said, so speak ye and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Speak and do as those that are going to be judged by God. Is God going to, when you come into final judgment, is God going to pull out those books and open them up and charge you with every minute sin that you're guilty of, believer? No. He said, I've blotted them out. Christ's blood has blotted them out. There won't be anything in that day to accuse us. That's the law of liberty. we've been redeemed. There's therefore now no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he says, in this life, you do, you speak and you do as one that's going to be judged by liberty. He says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What he's saying is, the believer who's experienced the mercy of God, who sees what a dire, hell-deserving sinner he is, and sees the mercy of God to him, he's going to rejoice in mercy. The one that's going to rejoice in judgment and go on rejoicing in judgment, never be corrected, go on rejoicing to judge, is the reprobate who hates Christ. And when he meets God, he won't have any mercy. But he says, you judge as one that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty, by the gospel. Now, thirdly, we should not judge because when we do, we're guilty of a far worse sin. We should not judge because when we do, we're guilty of a far worse sin. He says there in verse 3. In Matthew 7:3, he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, it's a splinter, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Do you behold a mote in your brother's eye? Do you? It's real. There's really a mote in his eye. There's a lot of them. He has a lot of things that you can judge him with. There's a lot of them. But is it anything compared to your beam that's in your eye? Is it anything compared to what you're guilty of? What's the beam? Every time one of us judges our brother, we're guilty of a far worse sin that Christ calls a beam. You see the difference between a beam and a splinter? A beam's bigger than a 2x4. He could have just said, they got a splinter, you got a 2x4. He said, they got a splinter, you got a beam. That up there's a beam. It's even bigger. What is it when we have a beam in our eye? When we're accusing our brother and judging one that God has said, who shall lay charge to mine elect? It's God that justified. It's Christ that redeemed us, who's even right now making intercession for it. When I judge one of these little ones, what am I guilty of? What's the beam in my eye? One, we're attempting to usurp authority over Christ, our Master. We're trying to tell Him to get out of the judgment seat. We're going to sit here now. And we're going to take care of this. Romans 14:3-4. Who are you to judge? To His own Master He standeth or falleth. Yea, He should be held up, for God is able to make Him stand. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:3, he says, with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. The Corinthians had some folks there that they had some serious beams in their eyes because they were judging Paul. They were accusing him of being a false prophet. They were saying he didn't walk like a prophet ought to walk. He didn't talk like a prophet ought to talk. He was just a vile, wretched, guilty sinner. And they had passed judgment. He, as far as they were concerned, he was condemned. Paul said, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Or of man's judgment in general. If you all got together, it'd be a small thing to me, he said. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. I don't want to try to kick the Lord out of the judgment seat. It's the Lord that's judging His people. Number two, we're passing judgment before it's time. The rest of that verse, 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul said, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man, every believer, have praise of God." Now here, thirdly, here's the beam of my eye. We're guilty of that sin God hates. We're guilty of pride and self-righteousness. We see sin in our brother. What's pride and self-righteousness? We see sin in our brother, but we can't see it in ourselves. Verse 3. He says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye?" Luke said, you perceive it not. You can't see it. When we get into this place, brethren, we're blind. We're blind. We can see everybody else's sin, but we can't see our own sin. That's Christ speaking. He said in verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly." See, we can't see clearly when this beam's in our eye. Judging our brother and not perceiving, not considering our own sin, we've become proud and self-righteous like the Pharisee. Look over at Luke 18. Luke 18 and look at verse 9. "Christ spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." What did they do? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they judged others. That's what they were doing. They were judging others. Christ gave this parable. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" If I judge my brother, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying right there. "God, I thank You I'm not like he is. I don't do all the sinful things he does. I do what I'm supposed to do." That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm thinking I'm righteous in myself and I'm despising, I'm condemning others. Look at this publican. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Now listen to this. "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now lastly, we should not exalt ourselves in judgment, because if we're God's child, if we are God's child, we shall be humbled by God's chastening hand and made to see our sin. We shall. Look here in verse 5. Now you just imagine Christ speaking this to you. And when He chastens, this is what He makes us hear in our heart. When we're in this position and He chastens us, maybe He uses some stranger we don't even know to judge us and condemn us. And He sanctifies it to your heart. He brings to memory. And he makes you hear Him say this to you: "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Whenever Christ chastens His redeemed, He makes us hear this word loud and clear in our heart. Have you heard it? I've heard it. And it's an unmistakable chastening hand of God when He does this in the court of your conscience. Thou hypocrite. You know what He's saying? You actor. You're playing a part on a stage. That's what a hypocrite is. You're guilty of the very same things. Look at Romans chapter 2. He gave that long list of sins in the first chapter. And the Pharisees were sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, "Oh, thank you, God. I thank you I'm not like them. Those folks are." And Paul said, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Brethren, judging others is one way men try to deflect from their own sins. If you get into an argument or you get into just a discussion with somebody that's a Pharisee, you may start that conversation off talking about them. They're going to turn that around on you. And everything they say is going to be you. Everything. But God knows our heart. God knows our heart. Brother Mahan used to say, We are all three people. We're all three people. We're the one we think we are. We're the one others think we are. And we're the one God knows we are. So Christ convicts His child in the court of our conscience. He convicts His child. He brings this home. He makes us realize our hypocrisy. Now, if you want judgment rather than mercy, God will deal with you in judgment. That's what He's teaching us here. He will deal with us in judgment. And it's the greatest thing that could happen to us because He's going to keep His child from being a Pharisee. He's going to keep you a humble publican. And so it's good for us to be chastened by God in our heart and in our conscience. He's going to make you see your own sin and your pride and your self-righteousness. He's going to make you see yourself. And when we're convicted of our sin by the Spirit of God, does a believer ever get the beam out of his own eye so that he can see clearly to get the splinter out of his brother's eye? Well, yes and no. No, in that when Christ does this, He makes you see you're the worst sinner there is. It's no more this, "Oh, well, I know I'm not as good as God is, but, you know, I've got some sin." Oh, no. He's going to make you see you are the chief sinner. You are the very worst sinner that there is. And so, no, in that sense, you don't see to get it out of your brother's eye, at least not in the way you were going about it. And I think it's on purpose. I know it is. It's on purpose that the next word in our text, our Lord said, "Ask and it shall be given you." Because you know, when He does this work, you know what He does? He brings you to cry out with that publican, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." He brings you to ask, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." Psalm 51:9. You know, David committed murder. He committed adultery. And Nathan comes to him and Nathan says, "You know, there was this poor man that had one little ewe lamb. And there was a rich man who had all these lambs. And that rich man came down and took that poor man's one lamb and killed it and had it when his guest came to visit instead of one of his own lambs." And it says David's anger grew exceedingly. And David said, "Who is this man? He has to die according to the law of God. And he has to restore fourfold what he's taken." He was ready to condemn. He was rejoicing in judgment. And Nathan said, "You're the man, David." And then he prayed, "Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Have mercy on me, the sinner. Hide Thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Have you ever considered this? That God puts you with a brother who struggles with sins and struggles with infirmities and weaknesses and errors so that God can humble you from your proud, self-righteous throne so that God might use you to teach other sinners? Did you ever consider that? Instead of condemning them, I ought to think, well, maybe God put me here to bring me down a notch or two. Well, do we ever see clearly to get the mote out of our brother's eye? Well, no, not like we were trying to do it, because we see ourselves chief of sinners. But yeah, God chastens us and He humbles us so that He can use us to help some other brother that's overtaken in sin. Turn to Galatians 6. But next time, this is how we'll do it. I've been brought to that place to see what a hypocrite I've been and to see how great my self-righteousness is and my arrogance in the face of Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. Then next time God uses me, this is what I'll do. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Remember what happened last time. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself something to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself." That's how we'll deal with it the next time, after God's done that for us. I pray God now bless that and make us deal with one another in mercy and in the spirit of meekness.